Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1. Download Rocket Money. Step 2. Link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3. Create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Do you ever wish you could get more from your podcast? Well, you can with BuzzFeed Daily, hosted by me, Casey Rackham.
And me, Zach Safford. On our show, we've got more good news and more pop culture.
More memes and more celebrity tea.
More of everything that's blowing up your timeline and trending on the internet.
Every weekday evening, we're giving you more of what you need to enjoy your day. Because what's life if it isn't to be enjoyed?
Listen to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is Fantasy Sports Today, hour number two. The Jets show up in Washington and the Broncos fall flat in the fourth. Fantasy Sports Today starts now.
Sports Today.
Toward the end zone. It is caught. Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
Fires up the middle. Pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch.
Pass is caught. Diggs. Sideline. Touchdown. Unbelievable. Toss to White. Super Bowl!
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It is Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia here with you as we take a look at some of the interesting news and notes in the NFL, just to recap some of the things that we talked about earlier in the show. And we'll have a little bit of an injury update coming up a little bit, but clearly Jonathan Williams looks like the guy at least this week in Indianapolis, as Marlon Mack is going to miss this game coming up on Thursday. And Lane Johnson, the very good tackle, right tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, we'll talk about a little bit later, was in the concussion protocol. We'll dive into that game as well. Those are two key injuries in the NFL this week. Not a lot of big ones, but those are a couple to keep an eye on, because it looks like without Lane Johnson, Eagles can't win. Jets, Redskins, boy, this one was baffling to me. I didn't get this one. Washington was a 1-point favorite, then a 2-point favorite, then a 2.5-point favorite in on Sunday. Don't really get it, because Washington hadn't scored a touchdown in 16 quarters. That's four games. Like, I don't know. Jets didn't look good either in this game. I got to tell you, Jets. I was not impressed with the Jets either. But the Redskins have no offensive line without Trent Williams. And Haskins needs a lot more work before he's going to be ready. So Sam Darnold did throw four touchdowns, one interception, 293 yards. It was a bad pick, by the way. Easily, Redskins could have scored. They just can't score. Le'Veon Bell gave you those RB1 numbers at the end of the season again. Boy, his numbers are going to be skewed at the end. They're going to look great. They really weren't. 18 for 59, a touchdown, two catches, 33 yards. Ryan Griffin, definitely on the tight end map. No doubt about that. He's been good for about 5 weeks. 5 for 109 and a touchdown. Crowder's been fantastic. 5 for 76 and a touchdown. Robbie Anderson, if somebody played him by some miracle, scored a touchdown, did nothing else. Haskins was just running around all day, getting sacked, throwing it up in the air, throwing it on the ground. He didn't look good at all. 214, two touchdowns, one pick. Adrian Peterson had 29 yards. Darius Geis heavily involved in this one, but had a hard time running, 25 yards. He did have a 45-yard receiving touchdown, so good to see him at least back on the field. When McLaurin was throwing the ball, he caught it, 3 for 69. He just didn't get targets because Haskins had no time. I'm sure everyone's seen the video of him on social media talking to his offensive linemen, asking what he can do to help them because they just were not blocking for him.
Williams in there. I think that's what you can do.
Jeremy Sprinkle scored a touchdown too. Nobody knows who he is or cares. But look, this was one of my favorites here. And not that I like the Jets, but I just, at this point of the season, and there's 6 games left, 7 games left, I don't know that I would go against Washington blindly the rest of the year, because that would be foolish. It would be the equivalent at the beginning of the season looking at that Dolphins game against the Ravens and saying, I'm just going to bet against Miami the rest of the season. If you did, you got your ass kicked, because Miami covered a lot of spreads already this year. But Washington just can't score. They just cannot do anything. And I would not be shocked, although I loved Haskins at Ohio State, I would not be shocked to see them dip their toe back into the quarterback pool, because he just looks really rattled when players are around him. He doesn't seem ready at all. I would put Keenum back in there. He actually made the Jets look good. I would go hard fade even on the Jets after this, because they didn't look good to me either. It's just Gase was just trying to do anything he could to win this game. They were running the ball on third down. It just didn't make any sense. But Joe, I got to start looking at playoff matchups, like who is going against the Redskins and as my defense in week 13, 14, 15. That is something I got to circle this morning. And if I was in fantasy and I was looking at the playoffs, that's what I would do if I were you who's listening out there, because the Redskins are not scoring. They look awful on offense, and this dude is getting sacked and they're in his face the whole time.
Well, the answer to that question is, let's see, week 16, you're going to get the Giants defense. Then before that, the Eagles defense. And before that, the Packers defense. So those are the three defenses against the Redskins.
I don't think any of those are the Packers are definitely not available. But I as a backup plan, I would grab the Giants and I would grab the Eagles.
Because Giants D is so bad, too. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
If Washington loses if they lose another one of their offensive linemen, or they lose another player, this thing is going to get ugly. This guy did not have any time whatsoever. And
it's hard to be a good young quarterback if you don't have time to throw. I mean, the game's hard enough. The pace is fast enough. It's very difficult. He also got sacked 6 times. So
he had no time at all. I can't see them scoring at all.
I understand that. And I'll tell you what, one thing I'll take out of the Washington side is Darius Geis did have a nice touchdown catch. He had a nice catch and run there, and it was good to see. Now, I don't want to take anything out of it, but it was nice to see. So just a positive, you picked him up there. Maybe you start thinking about maybe he's a flex play potentially, depending on how bad the matchup might be. They have some matchups here you can certainly worry, you know, make a consideration for. But the Jets are not a good football team either. I think we all know that. It was nice to see Le'Veon Bell actually come away with a touchdown in this one. He's been a good all-purpose back. He has not been the running back he was in the past, whether it's banged up or just because, you know, the Jets are the Jets. But it was good to see Crowder be Crowder again. I got more than one question, and this was true. Crowder or McLaurin this week in the Jets game. And I was like, it's Crowder. It's not even close. It's Crowder. I mean, you just don't know what Haskins is going to be. And it's not a knock on McLaurin. It's just more of a knock on Haskins and this offense. But to me, you know, Crowder's been one of these guys that Darnold just obviously seems to favor. And I've always been a very big Crowder supporter. And it's nice to see him get back to fantasy relevant on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I like Crowder, and he does look good. I'm sad for Haskins, because he could be going down the Rosen road, and you know what that means. You know,
maybe he'll get a second life somewhere else, and he'll catch on, and who knows? You know, but I want to write him off yet. But you're not wrong in thinking they might go down to the well again.
He's mobile too, but his mobility is hurting him because he's just running all over the place and running backwards. And I would generally start to fade Washington in the right spots. I don't think I could take them in any game the rest of the season. And they're not going to be 20-point underdogs like Miami was in any game either. So, the Broncos-Vikings was a fantastic. Unfortunately, I didn't have them at all. I didn't have Minnesota either. But Broncos was a fantastic bet. They from the beginning to the end of the game, you knew that they would cover. But moneyline, man, they were up so big in this game. I don't know what happened. Cousins, 319 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. Cook, 11 for 26, and he also scored a touchdown, had 5 catches, so he salvaged his day. Diggs showed up. Hey, all right, good. 5 for 121 and a touchdown. Rudolph has just been on fire, 5 for 67 and a touchdown. Allen was really good until the end of the game, and they fell apart. The clock management was brutal. They didn't know when to call a timeout. They didn't know when to spike the ball. The coaching didn't help them at all. Lindsay, 67 yards, 2 receptions. Freeman, 31 rushing yards. Sutton threw a pass in this game, was pretty cool to see. And he also caught 5 balls for 113. Fant for 40, 4 for 60. And Fumagalli was a great college player. Good to see him involved. He's not going to be a fantasy guy, but he was a great tight end in college, and he scored a touchdown. Maybe eventually he gets involved somehow. Fant, as I said, was the main target there, a tight end. Yeah, so the Broncos basically gave this game away, Joe. I don't know what else there is to say. Not quite as bad as Baylor, up 28-3, losing to Oklahoma. But this was close, and especially the clock management, I thought, at the end of the game was extremely poor.
Yes.
And Fangio has got to help out this young quarterback, man.
You're right. You're 100% right. That was a big problem at the end of this game. The tale of this football game is very simple. It opened up like this for the Vikings offense. Punt, 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 fumble, fumble. And then the second half, it was touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. you just go look at the. It's amazing to look at the difference of what the drives ended up with. Diggs, like I said, had a good game. You mentioned that. But Kyle Rudolph was a guy we talked about on the Sunday morning DFS show being min salary on FanDuel. And a lot of people were talking about Fells, a lot of people talking about Waller and all the other guys. And all I kept saying was, guys, just get a touchdown. There's no Thielen in this game. There's going to be opportunities for Kyle Rudolph. $4,500, go do it. And if you did it, you got more than what you bargained for with him. Disappointing day for Dalvin Cook. I don't care if he salvaged it with a touchdown. His expectations for this game was way higher. And I was shocked that Brandon Allen played as well as he did in the first half of this game. Yeah, I think the tension of the game kind of got to him there. All of a sudden, they kept coming back at him, and they didn't answer. And it was a tale of two halves. And eventually, it was all the Vikings at the end. And this one literally came down to the last second of the game. And Noah Fant, certainly with Brandon Allen, this is certainly something to keep an eye on. Because it seems as though Noah Fant, 11 targets in this one, that's a lot of targets for Noah Fant. That's another guy, if you had a Hooper injury and he's still out there on the waiver wire, go get Noah Fant.
Yeah, and a great, great college tight end. And I debated somebody with him over Hockenson. But yeah, I don't think it's particularly close. Fant's going to be great. I don't love Hockenson. But a story for another day. All right, coming up next, we'll dive into that wild ending with the 49ers and Cardinals. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. We're the co-hosts of Adlandia, the advertising industry's most thought-provoking podcast.
We are here with Lisa Bradner, GM of Analytics, and Teddy Jaudi, Head of Product from Yieldmo.
So we're here to talk with Lisa and Teddy about making attention actionable. Let's start from the top. What is Yieldmo?
Yieldmo is a next-generation marketplace powered by attention analytics, superior formats, and real-time data. We were really trying to say, how do we connect this ecosystem and make everything flow? I like to step back and say, all right, great, we've built the infrastructure, but let's talk about what we're putting through those pipes.
That's what we try to do at Yieldmo. Is we try to, there's great technology out there. You can buy ads and serve them anywhere, but what is actually making an impact? And we focus on trying to allow marketers to see that.
Always have to be listening for that surprise signal that signals an opportunity you may not be thinking about. And our agile data structure allows our brands to work with us to do just that.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Adlandia Podcasts and listen to Adlandia on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Donald, I may have indulged a bit too much in the month of December. My energy's been lagging. My belt is definitely on its last notch from all of the eating.
Well, the holidays can do that to you, buddy. It makes you reach for quick fixes that have rough and lasting effects on your gut. Good thing we have GT Synergy Raw Kombucha to get your gut back on track.
That's right. It's those billions of probiotics that whip the gut back into balance. And those are naturally occurring probiotics, not the added fake kind.
Yeah. Well, GTs are naturally occurring because it's raw and fully fermented for 30 days.
No kidding. Just talking about it makes me want to grab a trilogy flavor right now.
When you drink a kombucha, it means you love your guts. Because a healthy gut can help with less bloating, digestion support, boosted immunity, better mood, improved skin, and just your overall health. I've been drinking GT's Gingerberry since the new year to introduce more good bacteria to my system. GT himself told me that kombucha is its most potent and beneficial on an empty stomach.
Man, do I love GTs. I usually drink it in the afternoon to give me a little pick-me-up and treat myself.
Drink GT Synergy to show your gut that you love them. Better health is as simple as making a few small changes, and incorporating GTs is an easy one.
You can learn more about GTs at gtslivingfoods.com/loveyourguts and pick up a bottle at your local grocery store in the refrigerated section.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And I like football. And I'm going to keep doing them both because they make me feel good.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. If you like points, you got them in San Francisco yesterday. Yes, you got 62 points. Did this go over the total? Yes, it did. Was it close? In terms of the total, not particularly. And the 49ers come away with another very hard-fought win against the Cardinals, who continue to fight but can't close. So a team, by the way, for me, like Detroit, that I will circle next year and say a lot of close losses, a lot of self-inflicted wounds. And when I look at NFL win totals for the following year, I got to keep that in mind. I probably like both of those teams next year. But for this year, I don't. Jimmy G, 424 yards, four touchdowns, two interceptions, career game for him. Tevin Coleman, 14 rush yards, 48 receiving yards. It showed up with Breida not there. Surprisingly more important than I thought. Matt Breida is important to this team. Debo Samuel, a monster, 8 for 134 as he starts to come alive in this offense. Kyle Juszczyk, 7 for 63. Also, Ross Dwelly, the tight end who was playing because of George Kittle being out, scored twice in this game. And Jeff Wilson had really what amounted to be the game winner. And it was Kyler Murray also on the ground. They're starting to unleash him a little bit more. He had 67 rushing yards, and he also had 150 passing yards and two touchdowns, and he is the clear favorite for the rookie of the year, I would think, at this point. Kenyon Drake, 16 for 67, also six receptions, and he is the number one guy now in Arizona. David Johnson, I didn't see him play. I don't think he played. Christian Kirk, 6 for 41. Fitzgerald scored. Farrell Cooper scored. Cardinals offense is good, Joe. Their defense is horrific. And so the 49ers were able to come back and win this game. And I think I just kind of follow along the same lines with San Francisco. They're just going to keep winning. They'll probably win some close games. They'll probably have some blowouts. The defense was probably a little bit overrated going into the second half of the season. But they're going to be the number one seed in the NFC, I would think. And for the Cardinals, I have a lot of reason to be optimistic with them going into next year. But you kind of know what you're looking at this year, which is a significant improvement. They're going to win 6 or 7 games, which is nice for them. And fantasy, they give you some decent options. So no beef with them at all.
No, Dwelly catching the two touchdowns was certainly interesting, you know, but just basically next tight end up over there in the San Francisco offense. Debo Samuel had a great catch and a nice performance overall. This is that guy that I've been talking about since freaking July, and I'm seeing him on a weekly basis now, and I'm so glad I did hold on to him in a couple leagues. I had to cut him in a few just because, you know, bye weeks are a bitch, you know, and sometimes you got to cut guys and you got to make tough decisions, and if the guy's not on the field, he's not doing you any good. You need to win football games, and Debo's been terrific. This was a game that was much closer than you know, you look at the score. Oh, they won by 10. Maybe it was comfortable. No, it wasn't comfortable till towards the end of this football game. And I tried to hold my opinion about Kyler Murray until we got pretty deep into the season, because I was skeptical. There were things I saw in college when I looked at the tape of him and stuff. And I said, well, I liked a lot. I watched him in the college November, December playoffs, you know, like you talked about, you know, what guys do there in November in terms of raising their stake. I did watch some of those games. And yesterday I felt like when I watched him play, I said, you know what? He's going to be all right. And I, you know, maybe I came to it a little late. No, hey,
all right. He's going to be all right.
He's going to be all right. I meant all right. Not like all right. Like, okay. I meant like, he's going to be all right. Yeah, it was about the ceiling. I don't like when people want to anoint anybody right away. I want to see them do it in the NFL. I want to see them. How do they deal with different teams? How do they deal with, to me, facing the 49ers twice, playing the game the way he played? I was very impressed in what he did. And I'm not just saying he's, you know, that he's going to be the number one quarterback in football, but in terms of fantasy, at the very least, I think you can look at him going forward as a guy that's going to be very sought after and should be. I was not on the whole, you know, I was in a league where we talked about it. Somebody drafted Aaron Rodgers after him. Like they said, Kyler Murray over Aaron Rodgers. And I wasn't there this year. You know, retrospect, that probably looks pretty decent right now, but I wasn't there. And some people were, and I'm going to say that they were right. And I was just holding my judgment on him. And I'm curious, what do you think about him? Do you think that if they can go out there and get some defensive pieces and put him in some better spots, maybe next year, that you're looking at a guy that's a top 5 fantasy quarterback or just a top 10 fantasy quarterback? Where do you have him?
Could be. He's still, look, there's with guys,
he's a work in progress still.
But the great thing that what Kingsbury has done this year, which I think is going to change next year, is they had been, with the exception of the last 2 weeks, they had been hell bent on him not running.
and staying in the pocket and becoming a pocket passer. Now that he's becoming more comfortable, you're starting to see these rushing yards come alive. And I think next year you're going to see a Jackson-esque kind of transformation from him, where he starts to get 4 rushes, 50 yards, 6 rushes, 60 yards. I think, because they cannot stop him when he's running in the open field. So, yeah, I think top five sounds probably about right. And look, you never know when a guy's going to come out. He's still going to have issues throwing over these defensive linemen who are a lot taller than him. And it's obvious during the game that that is the case.
Well, but, five is hard to crack. That's I mean, because you're talking Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Watson. Right? I mean, somebody tell me Josh Allen is in the top five fantasy quarterback. I don't care. It's hard. Whatever.
Russell Wilson
and Dak Prescott.
I'm saying
top 10, top five. I don't know if I'm there yet, but top 10,
maybe
I think
a little high. All right. Patriots beat the Eagles 17-10. Not as exciting as a game as I thought. I was looking for a really exciting up and down game, and it definitely was not. Brady didn't even throw for a touchdown pass in this one. 216 yards. Sony Michel couldn't run, 33 rush yards. Edelman threw a touchdown, and it caught 5 balls for 53 yards. Dorsett, who I think I got to check and see how hurt he is, caught 3 balls for 32 yards and a touchdown. By the way, Gronk said he's making some announcement on Tuesday. I don't know what that's about, but I assume he's not playing. But he says
I hope he is, because talk about a team that has deficits in the red zone. They could use Rob Gronkowski. I don't care if he's 110 pounds. I want Rob Gronkowski in the end zone right now, because it is rough. It's rough. He's got to make a decision by the 30th. I thought that was the time frame. So. We'll see.
He's making a decision tomorrow. Carson Wentz, 214 yards and a touchdown. Sanders, they're just not giving this guy the ball enough. They had some other guy running, Brock, or I don't even know who the guy's name was. They're just not going to commit to him. 11 for 38, even without Howard. A lot of people loved him this week. I had him, benched him, played Hill over him. It wouldn't have made a difference because Sanders didn't do much else. Ertz, 9 for 94. Dallas Goedert, 3 for 36. Aguilar, 4 for 40. Philly's schedule is really easy now. So I would expect them to at least push Dallas to try and get in the playoffs. I think probably the team that wins the division is in, and then everybody else is out. I could see them playing at the end of the season to determine that. If there's any team, and Jerry Jeudy is the name from Alabama, he's going to be the number one wide receiver, Joe, taken in the NFL draft, probably a top 10 pick. I would love in Dynasty to get my hands on whoever the Philadelphia Eagles draft at wide receiver in 2020. I don't know what the rankings will be, but I am telling you now, if they are somehow able to draft up and get this kid, I think Wentz is still really good. They have no receivers.
Nobody. Like, and Jeffrey was out of this game, too, and that showed, too. Gilmore's
been
brilliant,
too. Is there a worse wide receiving core in the NFL? Like, even the Dolphins have Devontae.
Yeah, it's bad.
Look, you put Devontae Parker on Philly, and I think he's putting up decent numbers. Jeffrey has had a nice career, no question. Aguilar has not. He's been very up and down. They just don't have
the Deshaun Jackson experiment. Did not work. Yeah.
They whiffed on everything. Well, Wentz out, man.
Greg, but they also, they acquired Golden Tate last year. They whiffed on that, too. Tate was terrible there. He went to the Giants this year. He's been terrific. And they need a receiver.
Just
whiffing. They do. They need a receiver, and they need a receiver who stretches the field, because Wentz does have a big arm.
Coming out.
They absolutely are. It's a very good draft for wide receiver, and I think it would be shocking to see the Eagles go any other route but that. I think that's why they were hesitant to make a deal at the deadline, because they looked at it and go, oh, let's kind of roll with what we got. You know, maybe we'll get Jackson healthy. Maybe Jeffrey will be healthy. Maybe. But we also know what's coming in the draft, and I think they have their eyes set on it. I think you're 100% right. But Gilmore is fascinating. Goddard, you know, for you to beat the Patriots, you have to have somebody else kind of step up. And Goddard tried to step up. He had some good moments there. Ertz caught 9 balls for 94, but I'm telling you right now, it was a very rough day for him, because Gilmore was on him a ton, and there was a lot of, you could just see the frustration, you know, oftentimes of coming back to the huddle and just not getting what he wanted to out of that. You're right. They did not give Sanders the ball enough. Patriots defense basically won this game. This was a Patriot defensive win. The offense has a ton of issues on it. I don't know if they're going to get right. I'm not hanging this all on Brady, but they do get a huge piece. They get a huge piece on the line back next week, healthy. That is, when they get win back, that is a huge, huge win for them. No pun intended, but that's going to be a big deal, because what happens is, now, they've been very weak on that side since, so you hope that that helps. But really, where they struggle is in the red zone. They have not found somebody to take over that role. It's not Ben Watson. It's certainly not Julian Edelman. So they don't have anybody who can do that, and that's why the Brown experiment, unfortunately, could have been, you know, having a weapon like that, that's what they lack. They don't have that one explosive weapon that you have to worry about, and it's really starting to bite them here, and I'm worried about them as they go down the stretch. So I'm hoping Gronk comes back. I want to see Gronk. I'll tell you right now. I don't care.
Give me Wes Welker. Yeah, give me somebody.
Not
yeah,
Wes no, Welker. They, I'm the only Patriot fan that can't stand Wes Welker. I can't.
Oh, he was great.
Stand. He was great in the regular season. He's a guy that catch 120 balls and then get in the postseason. And every one that was important, he would drop. Not one, not two, every single one. He dropped balls in the Ravens playoff games. He dropped balls in the Super Bowl. He's a drop machine anytime it mattered. Great. You caught 120 balls again. Terrific. And they stand up and applaud. And he would run his mouth about stupid things too. And run his mouth. Go catch a ball that mattered. Wes Welker.
All right. So anti-Welker commentary on the show.
Yeah,
all right,
coming up next, guy.
Coming up next, Raiders and Bengals, Rams and Bears, and we'll get to the injuries and preview Monday night. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, rise and grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Do you want two risk-free wagers up to $1,000? Go to pointsbet.com/grid and open up a PointsBet sports wagering account. Enter the promo code GRID and you'll get two risk-free bets of up to $1,000. In addition to traditional betting, PointsBet also offers its own betting concept where customers are rewarded by how much they win their bet. For example, if you're playing tonight's NFL game and you bet the Chiefs as road favorites at -4.5, which is the current line, and they beat the Chargers by 7, you'll receive 7 times your stake. That is pointsbet.com/grid. Enter promo code GRID and get your two risk-free bets of up to $1,000 today. This is only eligible in New Jersey with some other restrictions, and you have to be 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Raiders and Bengals. Happy to see the Raiders continue to win. I'd love to see them in the playoffs. This was not a great performance for them by any stretch, and the Bengals played much better this week, especially defensively. They must have had some team meeting after that Lamar Jackson debacle because they played much better against Oakland's offense. And Carr was pretty good again. 292, one touchdown, one interception, one rushing touchdown. He's been startable for most fantasy leagues. Jacobs has been great. Wow, what a star he is. First-round pick in fantasy, no doubt, next year. 23 carries, 112 yards, also three catches. Tyrell Williams came back on the map, four catches, 82 yards. Waller was also good, 5 for 78. Renfrow is someone that's still available on some waiver wires if you need help, 5 for 66 for him. Ryan Finley, they didn't ask him to do much, so he didn't. 115, one interception. Joe Mixon, 15 carries, 86 yards and a touchdown. Tate had 4 for 56, and Tyler Boyd with a bleeping zero, man. Like, wow, this guy, like, talk about a team that also needs receivers. If they're letting go of Green, the Bengals not only need a quarterback, they need one, two, maybe three receivers and a tight end next year. We know the Bengals are bad. They haven't won a game this year. But look, the Raiders, Joe, you know, it's one of those where I go back to Al Davis. I don't like to quote him because everybody in the world says just win, baby. That's kind of where I am with the Raiders. Like, even if they're winning by a point or two, it's still giving them a chance.
Oh, yeah.
To get into the playoffs. Gruden's done a great job with this team. Imagine them with Brown and Mack. I mean, my God, like, Raiders could be challenging.
You know, you can't, though, because if you had those guys, you didn't have the picks to take guys like Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And that's and that's the thing. Like you can't think that way. Although it's fun theoretically to stop for a moment and go, oh man, imagine how good they'd be if they had this talent or that talent. But some of the, you know, when you deal Khalil Mack and you get all those draft picks, this is what you're looking at. You're looking at restocking and you're looking at rebuilding an organization that it was a very top heavy roster, unfortunately. I'll tell you what, too. You're right about Renfro. I mean, we've been talking about him on this show for a couple weeks now. I keep pounding the table about Renfro, and he had another good PPR game, another double-digit game for him. And Joe Mixon's having some good games, too. His first rushing touchdown of the year, week 11. Are you so proud? I'm so proud. Oh, my goodness. Joe Mixon, finally, 15 for 86 in a touchdown. He had one catch for 17. But Mixon seems to have been reborn with Ryan Finley for some reason. I don't know why, but it seems to be the case.
Yeah. Mixon. Well, they're finally just, I mean, I think they're trying to save face with this guy. I mean, why does Mixon want to play for this team next year?
I don't know, but you're right. I would love to see Oakland in the playoffs. That would be a fantastic thing, especially with them moving to Vegas. I got a question for you. If Burrow ends up with the Bengals and you've got Mixon and you've got, let's say Tyler Boyd goes back to being Tyler Boyd last year because he's got some good quarterback play, and AJ Green actually signs and plays.
No,
that's AJ a pretty Green's ready-made gone, offense, right?
Oh, no. AJ Green, zero chance coming back.
All right.
None.
Bengals? That would be a pretty ready-made offense for the Bengals.
Except for this guy is basically slapping the Bengals in the face right now.
I would want to play for a winless team without a contract either.
Well, but he's going to want to play next year for Cincy? I don't see that happening at all. Like, that's a Philly spot right there for him. Like, I could see that happening.
They need to stop doing that. They need to go get a young guy. They've got to stop with the whole, they need to go find the next Michael Thomas type guy. Not going to find Michael Thomas.
Jerry Judy. He's a stud.
Well, it's Judy or one of the guys, you know, in LSU. I mean, they got to find somebody out there because they can't keep going down this veteran route either because it's not working for them. They're going to have the same problems with injuries and other issues. AJ Green's had a ton of injuries last couple of years too. No. Just go start fresh. Right. Get a young guy, put him with Wentz. No more of this going down to well for the veteran stuff because it's exactly what you're going to be in 2 years from now with Jeffrey. He goes like, oh, he used to be good. And then you're like smoking a cigar, you know?
Yeah, it's at the end of the butt.
Yeah, it used to be a thing. Now he sucks again. You know, I mean, come on.
All right. Final game that we haven't gone over yet. And we saved the worst for last. Really? Rams and Bears. What a disaster this game was. No points after one quarter. None. Second quarter. Because the Bears basically could do nothing. The Rams put 10 points on the board. All of a sudden, Chicago comes alive a little bit in the third quarter, and they end up scoring a touchdown. Trubisky throws a nice pass to Cohen. And then they gave the Bears every single bleeping opportunity possible. The Rams were so bad in this game.
Like, how bad were they?
I mean, 30 yards, I think, in the second half. Like, But the Bears are epically bad, not creative, running these terrible plays. Like, they ran one play with, like five guys behind the line, and like Trubisky ran the option, and he was like throwing to him in front of him. It just made no sense. End of the game, Trubisky comes out, Daniel comes in. He looks worse than any quarterback you could ever see in the NFL. He looked like completely unprepared. I don't know what happened there on the final drive of the game. That's what they gave him. Goff, 173, no touchdowns and a pick. Gurley, I don't know. They decided this was the Gurley game, I guess. 25, 97, and a touchdown. We've been waiting for that for 5 months. He finally did it, but who knows? Maybe this is what they're going to do going forward. That would be great. Josh Reynolds was their leading receiver. Woods didn't play for a personal issue, which they haven't told us yet. Cup 3 for 53, and Gurley caught 3 passes. It was a quiet day for Everett. On the Chicago side, if Washington has the worst offense in the NFL, the Bears are second to worst. Trubisky, 190, threw that touchdown I mentioned, also threw a terrible pick. Montgomery was brutal, but what are you going to do? I'm starting to like Montgomery even more because of how bad their offense is. 14 carries, 31 yards. He's been a monster bust in fantasy. Cohen, 9 for 39. Gabriel, 7 for 57. Anthony Miller got a little bit more involved. Where has he been all year? I don't know. Loved him coming out of college. That's going to be a bad mistake for me, maybe. 6 catches, 54 yards on 11 targets. 11 targets for Miller. They only caught him. They only got to him 6 times. And Allen Robinson, a 4-catch, 15-yard day. I don't know. You know, this game looked really good 3 months ago, Joe, putting this on Sunday night. Nagy is supposed to be this great offensive guy. McVay is supposed to be this great offensive guy. I know the total was there were 40. The total was only 41. It told you that was going to be the case in this game, but you kind of, in your heart, wanted to believe that maybe some more points would be scored. I don't feel any better about the Rams at all. The Bears, I don't even know what to say, Joe, at this point. I mean, I don't think Daniel would solve the problem there. I'm not surprised the Bears are going to end up going 6-10 or 7-9. I did think that they'd be better than they are. I am shocked watching a team that inept on offense with the skill players like Montgomery, like Cohen, like Miller, like Allen Robinson, who I still think is very good. I don't get it, man. I don't get
it. The stock of these two coaches has fallen so far. Imagine it's September 1st, and I told you we're going to be sitting here in November, and a Nagy offense and a McVay offense are going to play each other on a primetime game, and you're going to get a total of 24 points between those two teams. You would laugh at me and tell me, well, what happened? Did they both, is Jared Goff, are they down to the third straight quarterback? You'd laugh at me. You'd say that's impossible. And I would have been right. I would have laughed at myself for saying it. It's insane to think where the stock in these two boy wonder coaches has gone, because they were at the very height, I think, at the end of last year. You're looking at Sean McVay and the Rams. Oh, my God. They're gunning all over the place. They're fantastic. You look at Trubisky and say, okay, work in progress, inconsistent. Hopefully, year three, you make that changeover and you get more consistency and it plays well. It's gone backwards. It's gone backwards for both of these guys. It's gone backwards for the quarterbacks. It's gone backwards for running back, too. I mean, I can't believe that we finally got the Todd Gurley 25 carry game. That's more carries than he's had all year. It's more carries than he had in the last 2 weeks combined. He had 22 in the last 2 weeks combined. So it's nice to see him. Oh, my God. And they won a football game. What a shocker, too. He also caught three balls. It's the tied for the third most this year for him. But
that's crazy. That guy was a machine out of the backfield.
Yeah. This year, receptions for Todd Gurley, 3-0-0-1-3-7-0-3-1. Depressing.
So he has
18 catches.
So sad.
It is. It's very depressing. But I'll tell you what, man, you look at this situation next year too. And I mean, if you are the Bears, would you rather have Driscoll playing quarterback right now? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, there's no possible way. That
of course not.
Nagy is the head coach and Trubisky is the quarterback. Now, I don't know what will happen, but eliminate one of those two. I mean,
Well, Trubisky's got 1 year left on the deal, so you got to bring in another quarterback, right? You got to bring in a veteran guy and drop him in there. I mean, if the Panthers are done with Cam Newton, you could take Cam Newton, slide him in there.
I don't know. They better rethink that a little bit, too. I don't know. Allen's really.
I don't think they should. I'm with you, dude. I don't think they should. But if they decide, you know what, fresh start, everybody should move on. I can understand it. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of quarterbacks there. There's going to be a shuffle. Tampa. I mean, this is definitely tomorrow's show. I feel who should be quarterback next year?
Andy Dalton
as the Bears quarterback, I think would be better.
Maybe so. Yeah. No. I
that's
agree.
A playoff team with Andy.
But I think that McVay, at least from everything that's being said, I don't want to give McVay a pass, but I will say that it seems to me that their offensive line, from what everyone has said, is 4 out of the 5 new guys, injuries all over the place there, and at least that there's that narrative built. And by the way, they are 6-4. Okay, so look, are the Rams going anywhere this year? No. If they get in, will they be some overrated 3-point underdog against some team on the road, and people will say, "Oh, the Rams are only +3 if they get it together, and they're going to get smashed." We know that. Okay, so. It's not happening for them this year. You can't look this bad all season long and then in the playoffs start scoring 30 points again. I don't believe that's going to happen. But it's inexplicable, Joe, the play calling for the Bears. Like, I know that Trubisky is limited, but it is so bad. And the plays that they're running are just not creative. And when they try to get creative, it doesn't even look right. And
it's shocking to me because it was the opposite of Nagy the last couple years and even going it back to Kansas City. I mean, he was calling those plays there where they were, looking really good there and really dynamic on offense with Alex Smith at quarterback. Trubisky has been, I'm going to hang this more on, if I'm going to split the blame, I'm going to go 60-40 here. I'm going to go 60% on Trubisky and 40% on the coach, because I've seen a lot more good Matt Nagy than I have good Mitchell Trubisky. So that's my point there that I'm going to make. But I'll tell you what, man, if you get that other quarterback in there next year, you better make sure you succeed, because you are done if you don't. You better make sure you get the right guy, and it ain't Trubisky, and you're going to have to sit there with him in the fourth year of this deal.
Yeah, they looked so good last year with the Mac trade, and the GM, Ryan Pace, I think he won Executive of the Year, the NFL or whatever, and it has gone completely the other way. Their draft picks do not look good. The Miller pick does not look good. The Montgomery pick, moving up to get Montgomery, does not look good. A lot of things have gone completely the other way. Sometimes that happens when teams have softer schedules, and then they win, and then they go back to what they were. But I am disappointed. And look, in one fantasy league where I am kicking some ass in a very important league, I got Montgomery and Robinson, and I'm starting, and we're winning, and we keep winning. We got McCaffrey and a lot of other guys.
Well, Robinson's been great.
He has, but I got to take a look at now playoff matchups here and wonder, okay, like if the Bears go against a really good defense in any week, we are not getting squat out of those guys. That showed up last night. The Rams have a good defense.
No, and right now there's cautionary tales in Tampa and cautionary tales in Tennessee. Of what happens when you try to go to that fourth year and see if you could squeeze some juice out of something that's just bone dry. And it didn't work with Mariota. It's not working with Winston. Don't make the same mistake for fourth year. Don't do it.
Yeah. Fair point, for sure. We'll come back with more right after this. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build and optimize lineups for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat. Folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Kerry Brownstein, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today as Craig and Joe wrap it up here on a Monday afternoon. Coming up, by the way, 2 o'clock Eastern, we've got Dr. Roto on deck with Full-Time Fantasy. 4 o'clock Eastern over on Zumo TV and Sports Grid, Sean Guastamacchia give you a little bit of a betting preview of the Monday Night Football game between the Chargers and the Rams. Joe and I will touch on that as well. Let's kind of run through the injuries here, Joe. I don't know. I didn't see anything that jumped off the page outside of Marlon Mack. That was the one that I think that will affect fantasy owners. Now, again, there's another report this morning basically saying that he's going to go see a hand specialist. So that means we won't get any clarity maybe till Tuesday or Wednesday. I would guess he'll be out Thursday. They have a Thursday night game. That makes sense. But Jonathan Williams is going to be a high target guy. I don't know why he ended up getting as many carries as he did. Just the same as Scarborough. That kind of came out of nowhere where we didn't see this. No one saw it as fantasy or reality. But I suppose in a pretty okay matchup, Jonathan Williams in a bye week situation, there's still some teams on a bye week, I believe, this week. You could probably slide him in as a flex, give him a shot. Kind of like Brian Hill with Atlanta. Just, you know, see what happens this week with him. But he was certainly impressive against what was supposed to be a good Jacksonville defense, but they gave up over 250 yards rushing.
Yeah, and they're going to be facing a Texans team that's not played well at home all year, and they're licking their wounds after getting their butt kicked by Baltimore. So I would throw Williams to the Wolves there. I'd pick him up and play him for sure. I agree. I don't think there's any way Marlon Mack plays this week. I think that would be absolutely shocking unless it turned out it was some very, very minuscule hairline fracture that they could just tape up and go. But I think that would just be stupid anyway, because you don't want to make the guy worse. So Williams is the guy you plug and play. And it's a shame because Mack looked really good in that game, had a great run where he spun out there and kept it going for a touchdown there. So a bummer there. You mentioned Tate having the injury earlier as well. Dorsett, I believe, was a head injury because I was watching that Pats game. I believe it was a, I don't know if he's in the protocol, but it was a head injury. So I assume that just means protocol. So keep an eye on that one too. Patriots are not a team that can afford to continue to lose wide receivers. That's for sure. It's not like N'Keal Harry stepping up and doing anything either, but we'll see. You know, stranger things have happened. Malcolm Mitchell a couple years ago stepped up out of nowhere and had a really good run and became fantasy relevant down the stretch a couple years ago before he disappeared. So maybe Harry can. I'm not banking on that, but it was for injuries. A lot of the injuries were we knew about and were beforehand. Stafford, you can put him on there too, that he's going to be out for probably the rest of the year, I would imagine.
Is that right? So they're saying that the whole year?
That's what I was hearing yesterday, that this could be an injury where he's just, they're just done, that they're not playing
him again. The Lions are,
why would you? I mean,
there's really isn't a point. Yeah. And they're playing well offensively. They're not going to solve their defensive problems all of a sudden. But we'll get them on Thanksgiving, as we always do. Yeah, I don't see any overly significant injuries. Lane Johnson is a big one if he doesn't play for Philly. I don't think they win at all with him. Like, the record without him is just a disaster for Philly. So, and I know that Philly's schedule is kind of soft here.
Did they just get him back too? Am I wrong, or was he not just on injuries?
I don't know. In and out, I guess. Sounds right. Okay. Monday Night Football. Tough one here. Kansas City is at the Chargers. Now, it's kind of strange for me here on this one, Joe, because all the contest lines, and I have them, we're trying to go 5-0 tonight, okay? With we were already 7-0 in the Golden Nugget, so we're trying to go 5-0 tonight. We're only getting 3.5 points with the Chargers tonight, and the line is now moved to -5, Kansas City. Now, I know that Okung has been questionable, and he's a major part of what the Chargers do on offense. Their offensive line has been a disaster. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that. And maybe it looks like he's out, but I can't imagine that that he's worth a point or a point.
Well,
and a half
when you consider what they were 2 weeks before, 2 weeks ago, they didn't have him. And the last two games they did, and Melvin Gordon has spiked up considerably since then, those last two games. Yeah,
but this line should not move this much off him. So I'm not sure why. The game is in Mexico, so I get that. The total is 53. That makes sense, because what's going to happen is that second half is going to be wild when the defense gets tired. And we know that both these defenses aren't great as it is, especially Kansas City's. So, I mean, I like Chargers always as a favorite here. I'm a little now more scared than I was. I liked it at 3.5. I felt like, wow. But now all of a sudden, all this money is coming in on Kansas City. But they can't stop anyone, even if they're up like 31-10. I could see the Chargers coming back. Chargers always find a way to lose. So they'll probably lose this game in a close way. The total's gone from 49 to 53. In this one, but Chargers see it's not going anywhere, but a big game for Kansas City here, because they would be tied with the Raiders if they ended up losing this one tonight, Joe.
Yeah, look, I think this is clearly another must win here for the Chiefs. I don't consider the
Does it
Chargers
matter?
Viable.
They must win against Tennessee. They look terrible.
I know. I'm just saying. That's why I said another. It's just, and they keep putting themselves behind the eight ball, The defense has not been good all offseason. I couldn't understand. I did all the write-ups on Fantrax for all the offseason moves for all the teams. And I kept saying to everybody, you got worse on defense year over year. And people were disagreeing with me about the Chiefs. And I said, no, I don't care. You had a Tyrann Mathieu. That's great. Look at the pieces you lost in terms of leadership, too. And this is not going to be nearly as good. You lose D4. He was very good rushing the passer. And like, Houston's out. And you lost a lot of guys that you can count on. And maybe there were still holes in that defense, and there were. But my goodness, I did not think they got better. If anything, I thought they got worse. And it's showing up now. And this is the worst time of year for it to show up there. Mahomes is going to have to put this one on him. And it's going to be him and Tyreek Hill. That's going to be the show. And I just don't think that the Chargers can compete with them offensively if it gets into that shootout. I just don't. I'm not there right now.
Yeah, I would lean toward the Chargers. I mean, I have to. I'm already on them with these contest picks, and that's a big deal to go.
What's the Chargers? What's the line here?
The line is 5, but the contest was 3.5. So this could come back down to 4.5. Let me see which way it's going right now. Let me check.
Yeah, it's a tricky
one. It's not headed anywhere. It's a flat 5 right now. So basically, it could, and it was earlier this morning moving toward 5.5, but now it's come back. That means some money's coming in on the Chargers too. This is, man, I really like the Chargers in this one, but now it's gone up. I like them less. People would say, well, why do you like them less? You're getting more points. It's just, that's scary at that point. It means I'm like missing something in this one.
Or they're trying to bait you into it. Is that what you've
I'm going to take the Chargers. I'm not going to go against myself. I mean, that would be stupid. I'm going to be rooting for the Chargers to cover and need them in every contest that I'm in to be perfect for the week, which hasn't happened all year. So I definitely want that. But hoping for a good game. Let's just put it that way. We'll just leave it at that. Strange one. All right. Let's touch real quick on Kaepernick, Joe. This was a hot story, not so much for fantasy, but for reality. Messy story again. NFL sets a workout. He goes to the place, doesn't want to do it, goes to somewhere else. Teams show up. Reportedly, there was like a bunch of them, and then only a half a dozen end up going and see him at another place. There are some people speculating that this is a whole thing for a Nike commercial. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not in on that, so I don't know.
Well, it is part. I mean, the NFL came out and said, his people came out and said Nike was there and shooting a commercial for this. So they're making a commercial, making money off of this, regardless of how serious you think he is about playing.
Right. Oh, I think he's serious. I just still don't think he gets a chance. I don't know. He's a better backup quarterback than, let's see, there's 30 teams or 32. How many teams are there now? 32 teams.
32.
He's better than at least half of the backup quarterbacks for sure in the NFL, and he's better than probably 25 of the third string quarterbacks in the NFL. But this is the same story over and over again that people don't want to squeeze the orange here. It's not worth it. They just don't feel like it's worth it. Whether or not he can play is debatable. But teams are just not going to want to take a chance because they don't want the extra stuff that comes with it. Does he deserve a chance? Has he deserved a chance? Of course he has deserved a chance. But it's unfortunate that the things that he stands for, people just don't agree with. And without getting too deep into that conversation and politically wise, which I don't want to do, of course some other team should have given him a chance. Of course some other team should have given him a chance to play. But I think the ship has sailed, Joe. Like, I don't. This story is just going to keep going on. It kind of feels on a completely different level, but from a popularity standpoint, like Tebow for a number of years. Will he play in the NFL? Where is he going to go? And we all knew, and I love Tebow. I went to the University of Florida, one of my favorite players of all time, but I knew in my heart of hearts, I thought Tebow was better than 10 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. I thought he showed enough in that playoff game against Denver that he could end up starting in the NFL. I did it. In my heart of hearts, did I think he'd be a long-term quarterback? No. But the other things that came with him, which is cameras chasing him around and him being so popular and being more popular than everybody on the team.
He was also dreadful most of the time at quarterback. Let's be honest. The numbers bear that out. He made some plays when it mattered. Don't get me wrong. But he was dreadful as an NFL quarterback.
He's a winner, though, man. He won.
He's a winner. Hey, I'm not taking away anything he did in college. And I'm not saying in the pros he didn't make a couple big plays when it mattered most. But I remember watching the first three quarters of a lot of those games and just going to myself, oh my God, this is terrible. I mean,
he was never going to be great, but he could have started over other guys, Joe, and he could have been a backup over other guys, and he never got the chance. And look,
Kaepernick, I feel like you have to have a coach, a very unique personality coach who could handle this. It has to be an Arians type guy. It has to be somebody who's just very unique, who is already a big personality, who can handle this scenario. And if you're Colin Kaepernick, I don't know why you don't go play in the XFL or the CFL. And I'm sure somebody would have thrown money at him to go play there. I'm sure he's better than the quarterbacks that are in those places. So if you're going to play, go play. Go out there and
he feels wrong. The XFL MVP. Should, you know what, though? He feels wrong that some team should have at least signed him as a backup.
You know what? You and I have both been wronged in our professional careers, I'm sure, more than one occasion. You know, are we going to sit here and be butthurt about it? Or are we going to go out there and continue to work in the industry and prove to everybody we're good enough to do it? So yeah, you know what? Wronged is wrong. Deserve is a very funny thing. We all think we deserve a lot of things because we work hard or we're good at what we do. You could take deserve and you can shove it, because deserve is nothing. You know what it is? Earn it. Earn it on a daily basis. Go out there and earn it. And it's something I used to tell to my students all the time. You could be really talented. You can go out there and you can work really hard. You can have great creativity. You can have all the skills and everything. Don't get into this whole thing like you deserve something. You're going to see people worse than you, with less talent, with less work ethic, do better than you will, and possibly quicker. That shouldn't enter into your scheme. Do you love what you do? Do you want to do this? Do you have a passion for it? And if you do, go do it and get rid of that word deserve.
Yeah, well, look, that's well said, man. I mean, he has had the opportunity to go other places he doesn't want to. Tebow had the opportunity to go play in the other places, and he believed he was an NFL quarterback, and he didn't as well. His ship has sailed, obviously, completely. So we'll see what happens. My guess, he doesn't get signed. Should he? Of course. Will he? Probably not. Will, and this will be the same thing that I'll be saying for the next 5 years. Should he have been signed? Yes. Did he?
I think he'll be. Honestly, I think somebody will sign him and try to put him in camp next year. I do. I don't know if he'll make a team.
But why didn't they this year?
Why not this year? I don't know.
Why didn't this past year? Yeah, that's why I'm saying.
I think we all know the answer to that.
No, I know, why all of a sudden next year is the year? I don't know.
Because of what we're going to talk about tomorrow and how many quarterback flux situations there are where teams and coaches and organizations are getting desperate, and sometimes desperation breeds wacky solutions, and Kaepernick is certainly one of those.
I feel like he would have been signed already, but all right, a story for another day, as we say. And coming up next, we've got some two-minute drill action, and then we'll send it over to full-time fantasy coming up at the top of the hour. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pizzapia. Please sure to like, subscribe, and rate our show, especially if you're listening on iTunes or Google Play. Don't forget you can also hear us on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher, as well as audioboom.com. Download the FNTSY app. You can listen to the show and all of the segments segmented hourly or even with guests. Just make sure you download the app. It is completely free. Just create a username and password. You can listen to us anytime you want, any day you want. Also, as a programming reminder, next Thursday and Friday, Thanksgiving Day and the day after, Joe and I will be off, but you can catch all of our other fantasy programming and gambling program on Zumo TV and sportsgrid.com. We'll be back to wrap it all up after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change. Like,
so this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pizzapia.
All right, time to wrap up this show as we end the program. And I got an interesting one for you as we wrap it up with the two-minute drill.
The two-minute warning.
2 minutes, get your sh** together.
Is that going to be enough time?
All right, we'll end the show with a little good news for the Craig Mish Little League team over the weekend. And we play again tonight, by the way. But over the weekend, we actually picked up a win for the first time in our last three games with a comeback in the final inning, which was the sixth inning. But word to the wise for those of you who are out there who are coaching in Little League, just to give you a heads up how we ended up winning this game, which we were down and in the Kansas City tiebreaker, 4 runs. In the bottom of the sixth inning after we went to extra innings and we needed 5 runs to win. Well, we ended up scoring 4 runs, which would have ended up being a tie. But then on the final play of the game, there was a runner on second of ours and a ground ball to the second baseman who threw it over to the third baseman to try and stop it, which, look, it's Little League. You understand that. The ball gets by the third baseman, goes near the dugout. One of the coaches takes the ball, picks it up. Game over. We win. Word to the wise, folks, if you're a coach in Little League Baseball, don't touch the ball. Don't pick up the ball. Why would you even touch the ball? Let the kids touch the ball. Imagine being that coach. Boy, did he hang his head low as they lost. But hey, a win for the Little League Mets. And that's all that matters. That'll do it for the show. Thanks again to my co-host Joe Pizzapia and our producer Sean Guastamacchia. I am Craig Mish. Full-time fantasy is next. No more Little League stories. Back to fantasy football. Maybe some baseball as well tomorrow at noon right here on FNTSY. Have a great Monday. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk again tomorrow at noon. See ya.
At CarMax, we're pretty flexible with how you can buy a car. If you'd rather scroll through 50,000 cars instead of walking the lot, go for it. If you want to see how a car smells on the lot before you buy it, by all means. Hey, we all have our things. Want the whole thing to come to you without ever leaving home? Buy online. Compare how the speakers sound when playing your favorite mix? Yep, visit our lot. And if you want to browse a little on the lot and in select markets have it delivered at home, we're certainly not stopping you. CarMax, the way it should be.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors. The bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams. Save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.